Welcome to Exaltation. This is Father David Masterson bringing you the beautiful, the good, and the true through the Voice of Hope radio broadcast. Our scripture today is Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would illumine our hearts with the Holy Spirit, that we may know and understand the truth of the kingdom of God. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What thoughts or images come to your mind when you hear the phrase, the good life? Not long ago, there was an advertisement picturing a group of young people on the beach. The women are young and thin, incredibly good-looking, and wearing very revealing bikinis. The men are handsome, with six-packs and rippling muscles. There's a crackling fire on the beach and baskets full of lobsters and crabs. Some of the gorgeous people are playing volleyball, and then the kicker comes when the advertiser convinces you that the good life is having a beer party on the beach with lots and lots of beer. It's very seductive, as good advertising is intended to be. It's an example of the world's definition of the good life. A new Corvette or pickup truck, having a beautiful partner or a large bank account, building a gorgeous home with all the rooms and luxuries you can imagine, doesn't provide the good life. These things masquerade as real life and end up being only what the advertisers want to convince you is real life. It's all hollow, short-lived, and doesn't satisfy. Why? Because affluence and materialism neglect real life at its source. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If you want the good life, real life to the full as God designed it, you must seek it and find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Real life consists of the spiritual and unseen good of God's kingdom. To live a truly good life, we must recognize Jesus as King and choose each day to live in the good and fullness of His kingdom. All other good life scenarios are an illusion. The theme of our gospel passage in the book of Mark is that the kingdom of God is here, now, in the person of Jesus Christ. Something incredibly wonderful has happened in human history that never happened before. God has incarnated Himself in human flesh to reveal who He is and the kind of life He wants us to live. Mark 1:15 sums up the entire message of Mark's gospel. And Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Then Mark unfolds the life and teaching of Jesus to show us what living in God's kingdom is all about. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is an area under the rule and reign of a king. Wherever Jesus is king, His reign and rule is happening. When we follow Jesus, we discover what it is like to live in His kingdom. We watch His reign and rule happening and participate with Him in advancing His cause. How does Jesus reveal and teach us about His kingdom? Through the reading and preaching of the Word of God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit as we receive communion, and through our living union with Christ by the Holy Spirit. Let's look first at the priority of reading God's Word and hearing the preaching of God's Word in the Bible. Verse 14 says, "Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God." Why is reading, teaching, and preaching the Bible so important? Because it is through the living Word that the living kingdom of God is manifested. The Bible opens up to us the reality of Christ and His kingdom and teaches us how to put our faith and trust in Him. Now, when it comes to Scripture, it isn't enough to hear with the mind. We must hear deeply with the heart. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 7, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." One of the greatest challenges for Christians in the 21st century is to hear, really hear, the Word of God from the heart and do what it says. We must recover a high view of the Word of God as being what God in fact proclaims His Word to be. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Do we really believe this? Psalm 119:162 proclaims, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." Psalm 119:14 declares, "Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it." God's word is inherently powerful and efficacious. It is alive. It has the power to bring life out of death and light out of darkness. It is transforming. Romans 10:13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Psalm 19 teaches the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Beloved, this is marvelous and revolutionary. This is truly life-transforming. The Holy Spirit of God takes the living Word of God we hold in our hands and enables us to hear with our ears and obey with our hearts, so that through the Word we experience the presence of God and His kingdom in our lives. This living Word causes a real encounter with the real Christ Himself. Years ago in my first church ministry, a vibrant Christian woman gave a presentation on the strategic value of evangelistic home Bible studies. To make her point, she placed her Bible onto the coffee table in the middle of the room and cried, "Look out! It's alive, and it will change your life." If we are to live in the good of God's kingdom, we must cherish the Word of God, recognize its power, hear it preached, read it, inwardly digest it, and obey it. Therefore, when we come together around the living Scriptures preached to us in worship, we say, O God of truth, prepare our minds to hear and heed your holy Word. Fill every heart that longs for you with your mysterious presence, Lord. Then secondly, the kingdom of God is made known to us in the worship of the church, and specifically in receiving communion. To spiritually feed upon the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is to enter into the glory of God's kingdom and receive the presence of God into our lives. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven not only to reveal to us who God is, but to enable us to personally encounter and know God. Christian worship begins with an obedient and grateful recognition of the Incarnation, God with us. The Incarnation is an event in the past we remember in communion each Lord's Day, but it is also an abiding presence which can be directly perceived and recognized by the eye of faith in daily experience. Therefore, the coming of Jesus is a fact of history made present, manifested in the worship of the church. Christ is present in the communion, ministering His own body and blood to us. He is the one presiding over the communion, and He Himself offers Himself to us. This is why in communion we experience a very real encounter with the presence of the living Lord. Then thirdly, we enter into the good of God's kingdom by recognizing the truth of our incorporation into Christ by the Holy Spirit. The head of the church can't be separated from the body. The church is more than just a gathering of individual believers who acknowledge Jesus as Lord. The church is the living body of Christ, those who dwell in Him and in whom He dwells and abides by His Holy Spirit. This is a profound and beautiful mystery. Thank you. You are listening to Exaltation. I'm Father David Masterson, bringing you the beautiful, the good, and the true through the Voice of Hope Radio. There is a supernatural connection between Christ and his followers, which, though mysterious, is nevertheless very real. Let's continue our lesson. The godly pastor St. John Chrysostom describes this supernatural connection by suggesting that Christ says to the lost sinner, "I pursued you, I ran after you that I might overtake you. I united and joined myself to you. Above, I hold you, and below, I embrace you. I am interwoven with you. I would have no more division between us. I will that we both be one." Another ancient writer said, "God took upon himself a body and mingles himself with man. He became a soul, substance in substance, so that the soul may live in God and be a partaker of eternal glory." This is the unspeakable and glorious wonder of union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are converted and follow after Christ, we are incorporated into the glorified manhood of the ascended Lord Jesus. This is why Ephesians chapter 2 says, "We are raised up with Christ and made to sit with him in the heavenly places, blessed with every spiritual blessing." This is not a metaphor, beloved. It is very real. If we believe that Christ has risen from the dead, then we also have been spiritually risen with him. If he is seated in heaven with the Father, so are we spiritually seated in heaven with the Father. This is our calling and position in Christ. Being seated with Christ and blessed with all spiritual blessings means that he has given us the hope of the resurrection, the good news of immortality, the promise of the kingdom of heaven, and the dignity and inheritance of sonship. These spiritual blessings and so much more far surpass any material blessing we may experience in this life. But beloved, hear this. In order to experience all these tremendous blessings, in order to realize all these spiritual privileges and promises in daily life, we must have our hearts continually prepared to receive him. We must be ready to encounter Christ, to know him, and to love him. How do we do this? We do it by refocusing our vision on the kingdom of God as a present reality. In his helpful book, The Beginnings of a Life of Prayer, the godly pastor M.C. Steenberg suggests that the modern church has largely lost a vision of life in the kingdom of God. We are focused too much on the secular world, upon the now, this world, this life, this moment. While Christians may speak of the kingdom of God, it is often seen as simply a backdrop which gives a Christian flavor to the present. "I'll do such and such because God's kingdom is a kingdom of love and I want to be a loving person." That's a good start, but falls far short of the goal. The goal is that the kingdom of God wholly shapes and forms every follower of Jesus Christ. The focus of every deliberation, every thought, every act, every decision is to be Christ and his kingdom. Sadly, too many of our choices are based upon this brief earthly life and its comforts, with no consideration for the eternal life of God's kingdom. But the sole focus of our lives as followers of Christ must be a vision of God's divine life living in us and continually transforming us. This is what our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." We must call to mind the reality of the kingdom at every moment so that our lives are shaped by it, drawn toward it, and gradually transformed into it by God's grace. Now, beloved, how do we continually prepare our hearts to receive Christ? Verses 1 to 5 of our gospel reading in Mark mention three things: the obedience of faith, repentance, and baptism. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John the Baptist inaugurated the new kingdom of God which came in Jesus. To get people ready for that kingdom, John preached faith, repentance, and baptism, the three ways people prepared their hearts to receive their Messiah. We must do the same, beloved. By faith, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for us. Then we repent of our sins, turn from them to seek a new life of holiness and transformation in Christ. Then we submit to the water of baptism in obedience to God in order to be cleansed of our sins and become members of his body, the church. Following this initial experience of faith, repentance, and baptism, we then develop a daily habit of turning to God and living in his kingdom. By daily asking God to cleanse our thoughts and minds, we are able to receive the reality of his presence within. By regularly, continually asking Jesus to soften our hearts and to make us tender and open to him, we are prepared to receive his presence. We must search our hearts to discern the existence of any sin and quickly forsake it and cleave unto Jesus. The wonderful privilege of being a Christian is the knowledge that God is always with us and always calling us to himself and into his kingdom. He says, "Seek me, love me, believe in me, trust me. I will bring you into a new relationship with God, your heavenly Father. I invite you to live daily in the good of my kingdom. That for which you have always longed is already here. It is present. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, something else we need to understand is that God constantly directs our circumstances so that he will reveal his kingdom to us. Always keep the notion of the sovereignty of God behind all things strong and growing. God wills, allows, anticipates, and orders all things for the good of his kingdom. It is God who changes our hearts. It is God who creates the desire for faith and belief in him. It is God who empowers us to serve him. Jeremiah 24:7 says, "Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." God is the center. He is the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. He is prior to everything else, and all of life is about living in his kingdom and not about man's desires and ambitious projects independent of God. What is the good life, beloved? The good life is not materialism and self-indulgence. The good life is not power, pleasure, wealth, and fame. The good life is recognizing Jesus as King and choosing to live in the reality and goodness of his kingdom day by day. The hymn writer states, "I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. For her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend, to her my cares and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. Beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. O our Father who art in heaven, may thy kingdom come." Amen. You've been listening to Exaltation on the Voice of Hope Radio. I'm Father David Masterson with Gaudete Ministries. You may reach us on the web at gaudeteministries.org. That's G-A-U-D-E-T-E ministries.org. We always appreciate hearing from our listening audience. Share a prayer request and we'll pray for you. Until next time, may God richly bless you with this word of encouragement from the prophet Isaiah. Have you not heard? Have you not known? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.